Hello, Wynn. We're rolling. We're live.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank everybody who is tuning in for listening. This is our third edition of the Don and Wynn Show. I think we're still with a beta version. We're still learning how to do this and make it work and get all our technical stuff correct. But the Don and Wynn Show is a dialogue between Don Newsom and Wynn Free, and we'll talk about anything and everything concerning the positive state of the world, which is hard to talk about today, isn't it, after what's going on in Louisiana?
You know, it really is hard to concentrate today. I've been, feeling quite sick lately, and I think that might have to do with the energy of what's occurred and what I believe may soon occur again. And yes, I agree, Wynn, it's devastating, not only to the people, but to know that our government and those that are in power to help us have been so lax in doing what in doing their job that it's almost mystifying and bewildering to me how the people are still thinking that Uncle Sam's going to come to the rescue when obviously Uncle Sam has an agenda of their own.
Well, I have to say that for those that are not aware, I am the author, principal author, with David Wilcock, of The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey. And David is Edgar Casey, or we certainly make a good case that he is. And I started writing the book 5 years ago, and 6 years ago, actually. And at the time I started writing it, there were many, many, many predictions about how things were going to fall one piece at a time and how this was actually something that had to happen as part of the what they called the...
Apologize for that. I should have canceled call waiting before we started this cast, but that's okay. We'll ignore it and
okay.
Keep speaking.
These things were going to happen as part of the birthing pains of this new paradigm that's developing. And when I first was writing the book, I wasn't sure I wanted to put that in the book. I was afraid that it was negative, or it wasn't presented in a negative way, but it's something that might scare people. And but I did put it in the book, and then I've watched all these things unfold one thing at a time. And actually, having written the book and having studied all these prophecies prior to the murdering has helped me at least go with the flow.
Well, lose the fear.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't help with the sadness for people that are suffering. And, that aspect of it, there's a certain helplessness because it's not easy to watch people suffer and not be able to help.
You know, it's got to be one of the hardest and most difficult things for myself and probably many others, including yourself, the helplessness of it all. And, we're all trying to feel our way and express ourselves, and yet, with these people and the tragedy that's going on, we can't even lift a finger beyond maybe donating a few bucks, not even knowing if it's going to get to them, or bringing them into our homes if we have the room. But other than that, we basically sit back and watch the news, and with such an overwhelming sense of helplessness, and it is sad.
One of the things that seems to be true is that this is not the end of these kind of events. We were talking earlier about this.
Yeah.
And the strong suggestion is, what do you do? What does someone do now? And those of you who are listening, I would suggest there's a couple things to do. One of them is, if you live near the coastline and you can find a way to do it, move.
Yes. Yes.
Because I think coastlines are going to be particularly vulnerable over the next couple of years.
I agree. Those areas and along the coastlines and active volcanic regions, definitely, and earthquake regions, people should definitely start thinking of moving out now while they can comfortably and safely do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing is, Edgar Cayce said that 10 people of pure consciousness could stop a disaster in the area that they live in. And I read that years and years ago, and I wondered, how could that possibly work? And
I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah, and you know, since I've written the book, I actually have come to understand how that works. It's like there is very intelligent conscious forces in other dimensions that are paying attention to us. And I've learned that they have access to our dimension when we give them permission to have that access. And the way we give them permission is by reaching up to them and connecting with them energetically, which can happen through prayer or other ways. Probably prayer is the way most people do it. But it's not God in the way religion normally thinks of it. It's just very high consciousness, high intelligent, very powerful beings outside of our timeline that are there to serve us. And
you know, that you bring up a good point. If people, in fact, I was trying to figure out a way that I could portray exactly what you're saying now to the people of Blogging Service. And one way I was hoping to be able to do that was to say to people, look, if you have family members and friends and neighbors and you have some gatherings, get together with your families, your neighbors, your friends, and sit down and get in a group of prayer and pray. Pray to these higher forces and ask them to be of a help, to help wherever they can best do so. And one way to do that is to allow them to help, not only through asking, but to be of such an intent that once these prayers are done, each and every one of you has a new feeling of responsibility, and that responsibility hopefully leads you out into the world where you can actualize that intent in a greater and more helpful way. So it's not just coming together and praying, but it's bringing awareness to groups of people and taking action. And I mean, it's just so important today to take that action and the necessary steps to be of help. Otherwise, there's going to be so much more calamity, death, and pain. And it's needless. It really is. If the whole world got together right now in one massive prayer, I think we would see instantaneous creation of a new timeline, a new set of circumstances. But since that is not possible, we can at least get into larger groups between those we know and love and earnestly make those attempts to connect with these higher beings who are here to help us if asked.
You know, let me talk a little bit about prayer, because I know when you talk about prayer, you immediately think of God. And people wonder, who is God? How do I know anyone's listening? How does prayer work? And I think I've come to an understanding of the technology, the spiritual technology by which prayer works. And maybe by understanding that, I can get people up to that energy and they can feel it personally. Because prayer and God are buzzwords. We've heard them all our lives. They're connected with religion, and religion is not necessarily working for many people today, or giving them answers, or wondering how could God let this happen, and all those kinds of things. So what is prayer? Let's start thinking of ourselves as multidimensional beings. What is a multidimensional being? Well, we all know what a physical being is. We live in our body. We have our five senses, our six senses. We see the physical world. And then people tell us there's this world that we don't see, but it exists. And on some level, we wonder, how do I know this world exists? How do I know there's worlds beyond these senses? How do you know? How can you find out? Well, here it is. Here's the model of the way I see that it works. We don't just exist in the body. We simultaneously exist in those very worlds that we can't see. We're in them right at this moment. Right now, every person that's listening is in those worlds, but they don't perceive it. Now, how do you know you're in those worlds? How do you find out? Well, we can get senses of these other dimensions, first of all, by our dreams. Edgar Cayce was called the Sleeping Prophet because he was talking to a very high being in another dimension, or they were communicating through him while he was in a sleep trance state, and he never remembered what he said. We exist as a matrix in other dimensions, as an energy field. And that energy field is not constant. It gets bigger, it gets smaller, it connects with other energy fields. Now, we all know when we connect with another energy field. We know that. Even though we can't explain it, we know it. Because when we do, it feels really good. For example, my analogy is a bunch of people that are sitting watching a good movie. When the movie's over, they have a group experience. They all melded their energy fields. And when they look at each other, they're all in the same energy. Or people that go to a really good music concert. Or people that have, you know, great intimacy. You know, there's all kinds of ways that we experience our energy fields merging with other people and getting larger. Now, we have to exist as an energy. How can you explain how that occurs on a physical level? In other words, when you're sitting in a movie theater and everyone's watching a movie, there's no reason scientifically why that melding of energies should occur. And yet we have that experience. The basic need, I may have said this before, but one of the basic needs of a human is to feel connecting with other things. And so when we connect with other things, our energy fields get bigger. We combine. And then through that combination of energy fields, the other side forces, the higher forces on the other side, can tap into us and work with us. Prayer is not really just saying something in your head. It's actually expansion of your energy into the higher dimensions. My way of describing this is that it's as if you're going to drive your car and that you've never seen an engine before. Regardless of whether you've seen the engine or not, when you get in the car, all you have to do is step on the gas, step on the brakes, and turn the steering wheel. And the engine follows suit and does what it's supposed to do and pulls the car forward. Well, the other side forces are similar to the engine in the car. That we can't see the engine, we can't see them. But if we get the right controls down in the physical world, we get a response and you can start to validate it. As I have learned to see it, the most most significant control is intention. When you have an intention that matches a high purpose or a highest good purpose, that intention penetrates through the veil and gets visible into the other parts of yourself, which starts the other parts of yourself creating the fulfillment of that intention.
Very good point, Wynn. I love the way you put that.
Well, thank you. And so, really, what prayer is an intention. It's an intention to penetrate the veil and engage the big engine. And we all have the power to do that. And sometimes you doubt that you have that power, and you may start off just imagining. Because imagining is the first step, acting as if it's so, and practicing so that you can get your intention to pierce that veil and make things happen on the other side. And everyone listening has the ability to do that.
I agree. In fact, I'd like to add one point to that. It's one confusion that I've run into and many others, and many questions are posed along this line in many of the New Age books, and that is time, the factor of time when it comes to prayer. When people pray, they always think that their prayers will be answered if they believe they're going to be answered, they believe it's going to happen sometime in the future. But what they don't realize is that it is always known that what you seek you shall find, and what you seek you find instantly. In other words, there is a timeline that is created through an instant creation or manifestation timeline. But the thing that what's important to note here is it's already created, which means that once you make that intent or willful intent of the highest good, your timeline is already created, which means it's already happened, and you, as we all are doing, are only taking a segment of time and experiencing each and every segment as fully as we can. But the truth of the matter is that prayer has not only been received at the moment it was made, but it has been actualized. So my point in stating this is that you need to know, like Wynn was saying, know that your prayer has been answered and act accordingly.
Well, Don, let me add, when you say your prayer is answered, you know, you should always add to for the highest good of all concerned.
Right.
Because sometimes have to happen that you'd rather didn't happen, and you don't understand, and we don't understand from our place why they happen, because they seem to create hurt or pain or something. So if you expect every prayer to be answered, and then suddenly a prayer is not answered, then you lose all hope immediately.
And that, yes, but that brings up an entirely new dynamic. When we're praying, of course, we're praying to our prayers are made to our higher selves. And our higher selves, we must accept and know that they are of a much greater capacity and have much more wisdom than our current aspect here on this physical plane. And therefore, although things may occur that we currently wish or think should not occur, we must learn to accept them, for in the end they are for our own lessons and for the greater good. But that is still part of the true actualization, instant manifestation of those prayers.
You know,
we're just separating those in our mind and putting a quality judgment or to the outcome, and that we should never do.
I wanted to, I reminded myself, I don't remember where I read this, but I read a most amazing explanation somewhere about how our physical realm or why it was created. And this is probably not the be-all, end-all explanation, But when I read it, it triggered some things for me. And so prior to this physical realm, there was just the spirit realm. And in the spirit realm, there were beings, and beings could have anything, anytime, just by thinking about it, and it would happen. In the spirit realm, there is no distance between intention and results. And so the problem was, as soon as you stopped thinking about it, it stopped creating itself. And so the challenge was, how do you make things last more than just thinking about them? And so the solution was this physical world, where the spirit got very dense, and things could be created, and they would stick, and they wouldn't change very fast. So what's happening now is we're in this world where things that have been created for maybe thousands and thousands of years are still occurring. And when we want to change them, we go into the spirit realm and we create an intention to change it.
Right.
And in the old days, before there was a physical world, you just had the intention to change and bloop, it would change, right?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Now, it takes concerted effort. It takes concerted creation. Before those, it can filter down from the higher realms and recreate things here on this planet.
It does. Concerted effort. I agree with you. In fact, do you remember when about...
Concerted intention is probably better than concerted effort.
Right. Yeah. In fact, remember those some of the information I think you gave me that alluded to the fact that if you wanted to look at how these higher dimensional beings see our intention, how they can know that we're praying, how they can know that we want to use our will in order to create an outcome. Well, mm-hmm. How are they listening? What do they see? Well, I remember reading information that put it in a picture of a weave. If you were to look at... Oh, there goes the phone again. We'll have to ignore that. But if you were to take all humankind and the spirit, human consciousness, and put it into a picture, it might look like a quilt. And each of us is a little light on that quilt, on that pattern. And the more people we get around us with focused intention, the lighter that bleep or originating point shines. And that is how they notice that we are trying to intend something of the highest good. Mm-hmm. The stronger that intention, the more people that work on that intention for the higher good, the stronger that light becomes. But not only does it become stronger, it creates stronger pulses in that weave.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how they manage to see, it all as light patterns.
Well, that's what they said.
Right.
Now, you know, and maybe the people that are listening don't know that... I've had this rather unusual experience for the past few years of communicating verbally with some of these higher forces that are overseeing the evolution of our planet. Now, I will say that I believe that to be true, but I can't really prove it to you. But I can share what my experience has been and let you, whoever's listening, draw their own conclusions, because this is quite an extraordinary experience and something that I never dreamed of having in my life, and yet it's proven itself to me over and over again many times. And I started writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, as a journalist. I was writing for different magazines, I was interviewing people. And my approach to David Wilcock was to write and prove a point and make it real, and that his channelings were extremely inspiring, and that I thought it would make a significant contribution to readers, which it has since it's been out. But April of 2002, I suddenly had a girlfriend who started channeling. And for 6 months, she would say, guys want to talk to you again. And I was having the opportunity to ask question after question and have them answered. And I had some little miracles. I had, like, my sister's life was saved, who was going to die. And they predicted a newspaper headline in advance. And they confirmed all the practices that I did in my book, that I put in the Edgar Cayce, the David Wilcock Edgar Cayce book, concerning ascension on the planet. And so who was talking to me identified themselves as the Council of Elohim, as one of the oversouls of our planet, maybe one of the major ones, and the other oversoul is Ra, who is speaking through David Wilcock. And the way that both groups have explained things work is that a human goes through many, 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 many lifetimes, and with each lifetime, if they make wise decisions, their energetic space keeps expanding on the other side.
The spiritual mass.
The mass, yeah.
Right.
And they start expanding and joining with other people, other beings, other souls, and their souls kind of commingle. They're still individual, but commingled. Communion is the way it was put in the Bible. And after enough lifetimes, at the very highest levels of evolution, we have group souls. And group souls are as close as you can get to the one infinite creator and still be separate, still not be everything. God is everything. So God does not separate from being everything. He just is. And we are extensions of that original force, as are these group souls. But they are far more powerful and higher than we are. And as in my understanding, they have acted as gods or been seen as God through the history of mankind.
Good point. Good point.
So, you know, one of these group souls is talking through David Wilcock. Another one is talking through my girlfriend. And the extraordinary thing was that the girlfriend, I call her Girlfriend X, after 6 months of doing these channelings, left me. And 6 weeks later, I saw my old girlfriend, and they started coming through her. Now, I mean, put yourself in my position. This is really wacko. I mean, you know, this was happening in 2002. I had been working on the book on Edgar Cayce for 2 years, and suddenly I have two girlfriends in a row channeling while I'm working on the book. I did not dare talk about this to anybody because, first of all, I was going to lose my credibility as a writer.
You weren't going to sell a book.
Yeah. I mean, literally, Girlfriend X, we would be doing anything under the sun, and she would tell me, those guys want to talk to you again. We'd be in bed. We'd be like, you know, being intimate. We're finished. We're laying in bed. I'm going to sleep. Those guys want to talk to you again. And I'm running a tape recorder, tape recording all these conversations, and keeping them in a file, but really not sharing them with anyone. This is 3 years later.
Even though they demanded you start sharing them, that's the beauty. We're going to be doing that here on each program that we do. Continuously on this program, sharing with you these channels, which have never been made public before.
Well, you know, I put up a website, and I put the website up maybe a year and a half ago, and I called myself the questioner, and Girlfriend X and Girlfriend Y, and I never identified anybody, left everyone anonymous. In fact, I'm about to go in and update that website and and share some of the more recent experiences over the last year and a half since I originally put it up. But, you know, this is a real story. People that know me, people that have examined it, there's no way that anything could not be real here. There's definitely voices coming through two girlfriends, voices that are very extremely wise, profound, giving me guidance, answering my questions, doing the odd miracle, and helping me understand things that I could never understand on my own. And I'm not a dumb guy. I went to Berkeley. I was a physics major. And I don't believe things very easily. In fact, you know, part of the story with Girlfriend X was when this first started happening, I thought she was making it up. And I thought that she was schizo and some part of her was separated out, because it definitely wasn't her conscious self talking. Far more she's very intelligent, so I won't say far more intelligent, but just a different energy than her conscious self. And so the third time we did this, I asked them, could you guys predict a newspaper headline? And this was in April or May of 2002, and they said, watch for this headline on Memorial Day weekend. Now, I really don't believe I'm going to see that headline. You know, I haven't told you what that headline was. I'll tell you
what
it was.
No, you never did. You never did.
I'll share it with you. They said, watch for a chemical spill in Arkansas. That was what they said. Look for a chemical spill in Arkansas. Well, 2 weeks later, Memorial Day weekend, you know, I'm scanning the newspaper and I'm looking for those exact words, chemical spill in Arkansas. And I don't see them at first glance. At first going through the newspaper, I said, aha, I got them. There's no chemical spill. So then I read more carefully, and you probably remember, maybe you don't, but there's the I-40 freeway, and it collapsed a few years ago. And a bunch of trucks and cars fell into a river. Do you recall that, Don?
I believe I do.
Yeah. And it was in the newspapers everywhere. The name of the river they fell into was the Arkansas River. And I said that was too close. Definitely it was a hit on their part. And
Were they chemical trucks? Or?
Well, all kinds of trucks. I mean, you know, it wasn't exact. It wasn't, I mean, I was looking for an oil spill or something like that.
Right.
You know, like from some, you know, ocean oil well.
Right.
But it was a bunch of cars and trucks falling into the Arkansas River. And, I mean, it was enough for me, close enough for me, that I started paying extreme attention to whatever they said. And, you know, I mean, it was like being able to ask every question under the sun and have it answered. What's my past life with this person? Could you help me at the horse races? You know, how about my nephews? Did I know them in a past life? They could read the Akashic records. Now, I didn't dare talk about this to David Wilcock at the time, because he would have fired me. I mean, I was a little embarrassed by it. I said, why me? I mean, here I am writing a book about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and suddenly, 2 years into it, I have a girlfriend that's got a voice coming out of her that says they're the Elohim. Then I have another girlfriend, after that one leaves me, that says they're the same Elohim, and we just continue on the track of questions and answers.
You know,
they never lectured to me. They just said, ask questions.
Yeah. You know, I have I'd like to get our audience involved in this in a couple ways. One way they can get involved is to test out the theory of prayer. And it's not a theory, by the way, folks, but I'm gonna grant that illusion here, and just, if you think it's a theory, then tap. And doing so, get 10 people, 10, not 9, 10 or more. And if somebody in your family has some sort of a physical ailment, or is sick, or has something wrong with them, or there is somebody that in your family that needs help, or a neighbor, or even something greater, I'll leave that up to you to decide. Get your neighbors and your friends together and do a prayer session with them, with all of you focusing on the highest good and intent for that positive outcome. And then we'd like to hear from you.
Hey, Don?
Yes.
You know, I'll tell you that I would suggest that a lot of people do not want to ask other people because they're afraid they'll be rejected, or they're afraid people think they're nuts.
Well, the time's long past for that. For the people listening to this, they should be long past that
I just wanted to say, instead of inviting people to pray, think of it as an experiment.
Well, yeah.
And invite people to take part in an experiment. And instead of calling it prayer, which has all kinds of attachments to it, say, we're going to, like, do an experiment to see the impact of group consciousness and how it can affect the world.
Good point.
Okay?
Good point.
That's a way that I think if somebody said, we want to do an experiment on group consciousness, could you come over? And in that way, it doesn't create, a connection with something in the past or the word prayer or religion.
Right.
It's just neutral. Now, I do want to say, if you use and do this, it's very important to add in anything you ask for the highest good of all concerned. In other words, there's transactions that can take place that you can't possibly understand the impact and significance of. And you might ask for something and get it, and then it has huge repercussions. There's lots of stories about this, people that have done this and have gotten things with repercussions that they were sorry they got. So always ask for the highest good of all concerned. You know, we have a group consciousness right now, Don. We have you and me, which that's why we talk all the time, because we know we create a group consciousness. And we also have all the people listening.
That's correct.
So before we end the show today, not right now, let's do it towards the end, but before we end, let's do an experiment in group consciousness. We'll call it that. You know, Art Bell was doing this, and it scared him because it was changing
That's
things.
Correct. That's correct.
He had millions of people. I don't recall
exactly.
He has
quite a story to tell on that, too.
Yeah. There's so much evidence of that this works. The Maharishi people, the meditators, would go into a town, and when they'd have their convention, and the incidences of violent crimes
would go down
drastically.
Yeah.
During their convention, and I mean, they weren't praying. It's not prayer in the normal religious sense. It's the expansion of consciousness. It's each of us has energy field. We get a bunch of us together in the same vibration. The energy field expands far greater than normal. And then it expands maybe into a city, and everyone walking around in the city feels that energy field. You know, when we talked about making a difference, the biggest difference anyone can make is to be able to keep their energy field expanded wherever they are, because that affects everyone around them and changes the nature and vibration of the physical universe where they exist. That allows the higher forces to come in and do interventions in that area. And it's like you become a walking prayer.
Yeah, you do.
You
go to work,
you radiate that to everyone. You know, the key is, can you be strong enough to hold that energy while everyone is in fear or sadness or competition, however they are? Can you get so grounded in that high energy inside yourself that you can be bigger than any negative thought form that anyone throws at you to get you off balance?
Exactly.
Most people fail there. Well, I certainly did for a long time. You know, we're all psychic, and when somebody throws a negative thought towards us, or even when they're in fear or they're sad, we pick it up.
We pick it up.
Empathetically pick it up. And the key is to get strong enough where you can still notice it, but it doesn't change you.
Exactly.
You don't have to ignore the person. You don't have to say that they got bad vibes or judge them. Sometimes at first you have to, you know, stay away from those kinds of people as part of your exercise in getting stronger. That's why in years past people will go into monasteries and,
sure,
you know,
well,
convents,
like,
and everything to try to create an environment where you didn't have to feel other people's negative energies and you could expand your own spiritual nature.
Well, that's being responsible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like if you're drinking, don't go around a bunch of drinkers if
mm-hmm.
you're drunk. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have to be responsible. One thing I was going to add that people can do, and this to me kind of fits along with what we're talking about here today, and that is when you walk down the street, if you're a people person and you like to engage with other people, which I encourage everybody to do, because being alone by yourself is not really the best way to go about things, but it depends on your path or your orientation. But as far as when you meet people or you're out and about, it might be something to try a whole new approach in your meetings. In other words, if I see somebody and I'm engaging that person, I then immediately put this thought in my head, and that is, that guy or that woman that I'm speaking to right now is me. Do you know that if you think that, if you put that thought in your head and you come at it from the angle that that person could be you, it is truly amazing what will happen to that engagement. And I mean that.
Hey, Don?
Yes.
Have you tried that with Bush?
I would like to.
You haven't gotten that advanced yet.
I have not got that advanced yet. But really, when you start looking at other people as yourself, the changes that happen within you and manifest outwards can be quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
I just encourage everybody to try that for a little while. I mean, I don't think it's necessary for you to go out thinking about it as you at this moment in time.
Even though it's true.
But I think you got to start looking at each and every person you engage as yourself. And
well,
you know,
even when people see the shadow side of other people,
right,
the depressed side, that is you also.
That's you too.
In other words, you know, I used to think years ago that someday you would become enlightened and you'd be above it all. And what I've learned is that you never get above it all. You always include it all. It's kind of like if you're in a city, and it can be pretty dirty and funky, and there's all this crime. You're in it, and it's pretty hard to avoid noticing all of that stuff. But you get up on a mountaintop and look down at the same city, it suddenly glistens and looks beautiful. And you know, the city hasn't changed. Your vantage point has changed. And so...
God, what a nice way of putting that, Wim.
Yeah. So it's like when you're looking at other people, if you can change your vantage point, it means you will... All the shadow stuff will still be there, but suddenly you will be engaging with the higher part of them.
Yes.
And they will be, if you do it right, they will be really happy to have that engagement.
Sure,
you know,
more responsive.
There's a lot of tricks in doing this. It's not, you know, you start out with an intention like that. I told this to you in other conversations. It's like when I used to perform, I used to play music at coffee shops.
Right.
And when I'd be first in front of an audience, there'd be this awkward moment, and I wanted to break the awkwardness, and so I would start telling jokes or being cornball and being a fool, because I could immediately make people laugh, and I'd feel comfortable.
Right.
But, you know what happened would be, they would expect me to keep doing it, and then I couldn't.
Then you had to be the clown.
I had to be the clown. It was very hard for me to get out of it.
Yeah.
Whereas I learned that if I went up and I did not try to heal that uncomfortableness immediately, and I went with it, then after a while, the uncomfortableness would heal itself. Music that I was playing would be better received, more touching, and it would be like, instead of having to constantly entertain them, this wheel started turning, and the whole vibration of the room lifted, so people were entertaining themselves. There was energy in the room, whether I said anything or not, so it was just a matter of just being there. You know, it's like, I said this to you sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, would say, okay, Wynn, how you doing, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And to me, that's like, that kind of greeting is equivalent to me telling jokes to the audience. Because it's like trying to make everything comfortable immediately.
Yeah.
And rather than going through this little bit of vulnerability.
Awkwardness.
And finding the creative moment that exists. So, you know, in dealing with other people, sometimes people might be able to apply that. And not just try to heal the moment, but let it come through you instead of from you.
Exactly.
Let the energy shift.
I agree. You know, one key in doing this, when I've done this, coming down there and engaging with people, I always find what also helps is not just to think of them as you and how that would be. Like if I'm sitting at a restaurant and I'm looking at somebody and he's tall, gangly, very weird looking and doesn't speak very well and doesn't keep himself well kempt and has a very poor manners.
God, did you see me at a restaurant recently?
Well, I look at him and I say, that's me. But what am I feeling at that moment? Why am I like that? So I actually not only put myself in his shoes, I pretend that I'm him, and what am I feeling in that moment? And it opens up a whole new sensory perception. And beyond that is when you start engaging this person, you don't then look at his physicalness. You start looking maybe a little to the right of him, or a little to the high left of him, and you start to try to pretend like you're trying to focus on an aura of energy that surrounds him. That gets you out of the physical as well. And it also, it's a whole new step to doing what I'm talking about, but it adds another dimension of quality to your engagement. So I just want other people to try this, try it in their lives, give us feedback to how that's working for them. Try this measure of working on that group consciousness experiment or group prayer, whatever you feel comfortable expressing it as. And I'd also, remember we were talking about having other people send in good quality questions that can be asked the Council of Elohim and the Ra if we continue to do, or you and Girlfriend X and Y continue to do these channelings, which I believe will occur. I would like people...
And by the way, anyone has any good answers, send them in also.
Send them in too.
because this is not about getting information in your mind This is about figuring out how we can transform ourselves, transform each other, transform the planet in record time. I mean, I just like to know that somebody's listening and they care. Someone wants, I hope people will send emails to say, we listened, we got something out of this. Because I want to know this is a venue that people are listening and it resonates with them. And if this is, if we're going along on a track, it's meaningful to others.
Exactly.
But, you know, I have these two cassette tapes queued up that we were testing before.
Right.
And I thought I'd just see, you know, maybe 20 or 30 seconds of each one just to get the, their frequency out there. This is Girlfriend Y and Girlfriend X.
Well, do you have the, I mean, literally, if you'd like to, we could make this longer than an hour. And we could just run the whole thing if you choose to.
I mean, tonight?
Sure.
You know what? I gotta listen to these to make sure I don't put anything I don't want to put.
Of that intimature, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, God knows what I'm asking and what they're answering. So I don't want to just run something. In fact, you know, as I told you, that there's resonant frequencies in these channelings, and that we talked about the idea of putting them up during the week, and I'm just running the channeling. Play an excerpt on Saturday,
right,
and then play the whole thing on Wednesday.
Okay, let's do that.
And I like. I'm not going to do it this week. I want people to email and say they want it to happen. Cause,
well, then I will put up on our show page, which you people will be seeing now.
Yeah.
There'll be two links where you can email either myself, Don, and you can email me at contact@blogginservice.com or Win, and that's win@yahoo.com or winfree@yahoo.com. But those links are right in front of you. You just hit them and you send us your questions, you send us your messages, you send us your experiences, and you let us know if indeed you would like us to put a program on every Wednesday for an hour with one of these featured channelings. And I think that you're going to get more out of it than you're expecting, because they are...
We might even get to put some, you know, some of David Wilcox's channeling.
I would like that, too.
We'll go along with it.
In fact, I'd like to get him on the program maybe once or twice, just to get his... just to pick his brain a bit, because
yeah.
he's one individual that is highly conscious.
Yeah. But what I want to do on this show, my goal is to create a group consciousness. Not that I know and you don't know.
Right.
I mean, when you listen to some of the questions and answers, because I have questions about a lot of things I was going through personally and how they counseled me.
Right.
And in fact, if you look at David's website, there's loads and loads of channelings where they're counseling him for an entire year about getting over his distortions. Within these messages are the keys to getting over my distortions, your distortions, our distortions.
Right.
They call them distortions.
Right.
Things that keep us, you know, at a lesser level. There is no pretense here. There's no one trying to say, I'm special and you're not, because we're all special. We just don't know it. And part of the benefit of listening to these channelings is if they're coming from a positive source, and everyone has to make their own decision, is that you get a resonance with the source and you have an opening for to work with you. And
in fact, expound on that a bit, because you told me once before that when things start to connect, like let's say Wynn starts connecting with me, my life starts changing. I start to different things happen, different circumstances take place in my life that changes my path, and in a very positive way. And the same thing with these channelings. When you start to hear them and you start to pay attention, then that energy starts to be transferred into your lives. And
you're open to it.
If you're open to it,
this
exactly.
This is not something that, you know, is... that ever denies your free will, if you're open to it,
correct,
it adds an energy to your life that's real, very real. Like you said, you know, things can happen where you actually know that there's a different something happening, a different possibilities. You suddenly have a synchronicity, or you're in an expanded state. Well, listen, here is Girlfriend X, and I call them Girlfriend X. They're really lovely people. And
they truly are.
Don't mean to disrespect them by calling them Girlfriend X and Girlfriend Y. There's a certain humor in the way this has all happened for me, and up to this point, I've been keeping the women anonymous because just to protect, for their own protection. They both have lives, they do things, and this is a pretty bizarre part of their experience, perhaps. So, with Girlfriend X, they had asked me to put up the website and to put the channelings up, and they talk about that those people that were ready would have a resonance, and it would affect people on a cellular level. Then I asked them, could you please give me an introduction to the website? And they did. And did you listen to this one, Don?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you didn't listen to this?
No.
And so they gave me an introduction, and I thought I'd play what they asked me to put up as an introduction. So here we go.
All right. Well, let me just make sure that the...
Get your levels correct.
Get the levels correct. Play it, and I'll be playing around with the levels here to make sure it's coming in.
Okay. You know what? I got to plug this into the earphone jack. We got a little buzz there. And...
On the channelings, on the messages, are such that those of sufficient spiritual awareness will deeply understand from a cellular place that we speak not from fear. They shall know. They shall be catalyzed. They shall help each other in ways that are very pivotal. Do you understand?
I do understand. Would you right now give me an introduction for these series of channelings that I can use on the internet to introduce them to others?
In a vernacular?
Yes.
Give us one moment, please. Orientation, awareness, : acceleration, preparation. This could be an opening scene for you. We have here in these messages delivered to us by intergalactic sources very much interested and very much in love with the process of humanity's unfoldment, certain messages, certain keys which can help and enable a process which could be painful, which could be likened to a painful birth, to one which could be made simply easier by preparation. Just as a mother goes to a Lama's class with her husband and learns the proper breathing techniques and proper relaxation techniques to learn to relax in between the contractions, to have a proper bed, to have the proper nourishment, to have the proper home prepared for the birth of the child. This is similar to what we are suggesting in these transmissions. We are suggesting that people become aware, that people become prepared, that people experience themselves as emotionally, psychologically, physically, and spiritually in a period of transition, one which shall move fairly fast by your Earth standards. If we know that something is to occur, if we know it is to rain, very likely, is it best not to bring a raincoat? Or is it best simply to be drenched? Do you understand our meaning? So, to continue, liken it to the process of birth, of preparing the birthing place, of preparing a safe haven for the mother and the new child, a peaceful haven, a tranquil haven, one where the new infant, the new cosmic consciousness that is latent and blossoming in millions of souls may safely arrive, rather than being birthed into the chaos of a breaking down of the old structure, which would liken itself to a very difficult delivery, a forceps delivery, a cesarean section, or, in some sad cases, a stillbirth of the child. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Is there anything else you wish to ask us at this time?
Hello?
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was Girlfriend X.
Yeah, I think I'll just have to do a little bit of playing with it, and it should sound excellent.
Good, good. And, you know, Girlfriend X was going through a tremendously negative, difficult time as a result of all these channelings.
Right.
This is not, you know, it's like, as I learned to understand it, that when you channel from this high level, it's as if somebody's on stage and I'm in the balcony and I'm asking questions. And as long as I'm maintaining my rapport with the person on stage, the audience doesn't matter.
Right.
But as soon as either of us deviates, you have this openness to the whole audience, which can be negative. In fact, it's somewhat like being on this show, isn't it?
It is.
Here we are talking to all these people. We're making ourselves vulnerable. And if we lose our positive intent, whoever's listening can screw us up. You know, I don't know if I'm saying that clearly, but, you know, there has to be the intent always, not just when we're on the air, but 24/7 job to do something like this, to stay in the energy of it. It's not an idea. It's an energy. And my goal is to use this show as a way of creating group energy for people who are listening, and to get that energy real and strong enough so that they can walk out into their world and have the memory of the energy with them, or the energy will hold and they can start changing the energy where they are.
I like that. In fact, Wim, I thank you. We've now reached about a little over an hour and 5 minutes. But I thank you again for this week's topic and for being a part of this, as always. And I'm mm-hmm. certainly looking forward to our next show.
God, let me add, mm-hmm. those who are listening, this whole story of these conversations with Girlfriend X and Girlfriend Y is posted at conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. I highly recommend anyone who's concerned about the state of the world, anyone who's in fear that wants to read the story of David Wilcock and Edgar Cayce, but even more, the channelings, the messages from the group soul, Ra, please. please go to my website, caseysback.com. You can order the book there. There's an 800 number. Buy it at the store. Get the book, because the book is phenomenally changing lives. Hang on just a second.
Sure. Well, when
I get messages all the time from people who have read the book, and just to give you an idea how people are being impacted, this is from Beverly Craig, who's La Crescenta Church of Religious Science. The information resonated as truth deep within my being as the explanation was given for the rather unique period in the history of humankind we are in. I invite and encourage you to read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce and integrate the astounding information it contains into your own evolving spiritual path. The book may be the most important work in contemporary spirituality, explaining how to maintain one's connection to divinity on a planet intuition. Now here's a letter from Dr. Philip Rothenberg, who's an MD. This is a masterpiece. I couldn't put it down. I have finished it, and I'm overwhelmed. What I loved most about it, of course, was that it validated most of what I have come to believe as to how the universe works, and filled in the gaps with what seems to be accurate and detailed information. Here is a comment from Chris Tanneland, who has a website called UFOria. No matter where you are along your spiritual path, if you can accept the possibility that entities more evolved than humanity both exist and communicate directly with individual humans for the betterment of our species, this book is a treasure chest waiting to enrich your journey. So those are the kinds of things people are saying. I guarantee that in the pages of this book, you will find explanations for what's going on our planet that are different from anything you've probably ever been exposed to, and you will have the opportunity to connect with the group soul who's trying to connect with us to ease us through this period. They say, as you study us, we study you. I believe that's true.
Yeah, that's
so the book
true.
Is, you know, this is not a religious book. You don't have to take anything on faith. It explains things in a way that has actually never been put down in language before. Some of this information has been part of the secrets of ancient mystery schools, and the book is putting it out to anyone who is open. Don, how did the book impact you? You read it.
Well, I couldn't stop reading it. To be honest with you, I when I started reading it, I had it read in a few days. It was just, there are many books, spiritual books out there that give a lot of information, but none of them are as such a wonderful and compelling read as The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I got to tell you, it's changed me. It has. And the funny thing is, I'm sure that if I continue to read it over and over and over, I'm going to get more and more out of it, because I've read several of those chapters over and over, and every time I do, more and more of me wakes up. So, I mean, it's a book that I think would become one of your, an asset for the whole family. And, yeah, I just need everybody to read it. Every single person to pick up a copy, no matter where they are in their spiritual evolution, sit down with a good cup of coffee or a tea and spend some time in the pages of this book, because it's not only revealing, it's life-changing.
And, you know, I hope people will forgive us both if this sounds like a commercial, because, I mean, of course, I do need to earn a living, and selling books is helping me earn a living. But I have had enough experience of watching people's reaction to this to know that if you're in the world right now and you're looking at these events in the world and you have that pang of anxiety in you and wonder what you can do and how you can understand it, I truly believe that this book will guide you through it and probably give you most powerful resource that you can have for the next few years. I wrote it like that. You know, I wrote this book, I dropped everything I was doing, and I spent 4 years living in my RV, writing it at Denny's and coffee shops, because I had never had written a book before. I never knew I was going to get it published, even, and I said, this is going to be the most important thing I ever did in my life. And I wasn't sure. That's what was my thought. And, of course, you know, I could have just been crazy, except now I'm getting feedback. I'm getting people all the time writing me and realizing that I accomplished what I set out to do. So that's it for me tonight. Oh, Don?
Yes.
You know, I know we're over an hour now, but we don't have anyone coming on after us, right?
Well, that's true.
So if anyone's still listening, I always wonder, you know, we can take this moment, and we said we were going to do this, and I want to do it, just bring our consciousnesses together. Right now, wherever you are in the world, see the energy leaving your body from the top of your head, going into the ethers, and see us all connected. Imagine it. Imagine that we're creating one big group energy right at this moment. And let's take that energy, let's take that light that we're creating, and ask for the service to other groups on the other side to notice and pay attention and welcome them into our lives and our planet. Let's send that energy to the people we know personally. Let's send it for their own love and expansion and healing. Let's send it to ourselves for the strength to endure all the changes that are going to be happening and to be able to stay centered through them. And let's send it especially to New Orleans, to those people that are suffering. And let's send it to those people that have died there, to their souls, that they can find their highest space on the other side. And let's just take about 30 seconds of silence and experience that energy that we're creating going around the world right now, and believe that it's real.
Thank you, Wynn. I sincerely appreciate that, and I thank all of our listeners for taking the time to increase that energy of the highest good and to process that energy out into the world. For you must all realize by now, we can never do this alone. We must do this together, and the changes that are coming, we must face together. And we must face it without fear and with love, compassion. And I just wish you all the best this weekend. And Wynn, again, thank you. It is always an absolute pleasure. Have a good weekend.
Blessings to everybody.
You have been listening to a Blog In Broadcasting service, a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much, and good night.